Welcome to the podcast. My name is Danny Cola. If this is your first time listening, make sure to hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so that you can join me in having some epic conversations that access higher levels of potential with creatives and professionals from all around the globe. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today's guest is Justin Rezvani. He's the CEO of Zion, a decentralized, open-source, utility-based social media protocol that is built on top of Bitcoin. Social media can be extremely useful in making wonderful connections and establishing communities around a positive message that can benefit and inspire so many people around the globe. However, at what expense? Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and Facebook are all centralized companies that own your content, own your audience, and own your data. Justin envisions a future where social media is built with a more intimate setup where creators and audience members are directly connected via the Lightning Network nodes, where you're able to control and own all your data and content. Another interesting feature of Zion is that you'll be able to get paid and pay your favorite content creators via Bitcoin. I'm very interested in what the future of social media morphs into and how people like Justin are pioneering that change. This was a great conversation. I was excited and fortunate enough to interview Justin and learn all about some of the ups and downs of his entrepreneurship road and how he's bringing forth what the future of social media might look like. Follow Justin on Instagram at Justin Rezvani and learn more about his journey as he continually gives his blood, sweat, and tears to build Zion. I hope you enjoy this podcast as much as I enjoyed having the conversation. All right, Justin Rezvani, how are you feeling today, man?
How am I feeling today? Challenging, man. Running a company is there's ups, there's downs, lots of downs. It's five steps forward, four steps back. It's very hard. Today's a challenging day, to say the least.
Okay. All right. So when you're in those emotionally distressed states, are there things that you do to bounce back?
I don't know about emotionally distressed. I don't know if I'd go so far as saying that. I just think it's just one of those days, right?
Okay.
The truth is I just keep going forward. I think it's some people say it's always fine and dandy and all is good. And the truth is it's not. You know, entrepreneurship is a pain in the ass. It's very hard. It's a test of your mind on all aspects. So the question is just like, do you push forward? And today is a day of exercising, like pushing forward and just being really, really, really resilient and moving forward. That's really my, it's one of those days for me that I have 15 meetings and I only have enough hours in the day I'll be up till 2 a.m. today. Just feeling one of those days.
I appreciate your hard work. I heard you for the first time a couple months back on Skinny Confidential, and I just resonated very strongly with just the way you were talking, your hustle, the way you see the world, your visionary aspects, and it resonated with me very, very hard. So before we talk Web3, before we talk Zion Bitcoin, before we talk nodes and Lightning Network, I want to know and understand your first interaction with the internet and when you first started building a personality on it, because I feel like people our age were the first kind of kids to build personalities on the internet. So what was your experience building your first personality on the internet with AOL or AIM or whatever?
Yeah, I had an AIM messenger. And that was the first time. And I tried to build like a GeoCity site when I was kind of very young. And that was the first impact of like understanding like, oh, wow, there's a thing where I can build a version of myself in the digital world and it can be replicated. And it allows for unlimited replication. And I think that's kind of the first thesis where I started learning about the concept of tech can scale is this like limit, this very highly limited replication of scale.
Very interesting. And then like interacting with girls, thinking about different types of groups you wanted to join. Talk to me about like when it went from AOL, AIM, Instant Messenger to like Facebook, Instagram. When did you start to realize there was something real here where people can start interacting with audiences, interacting with the people that follow them, start selling stuff? When did you start seeing this?
I think it was just around the evolution of like, what is a platform? And so if I look at the history of the internet, we've had three big phases of the history of platforms. So the beginning was in the 2000s, where AOL, Google, and Apple were the early platforms of the internet. And then the next series of platforms evolved to the actual application framework, which was platforms became things like Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And now we're now entering the next era of what platforms are, and platforms are people. Platforms are influencers. Platforms are podcasts. Platforms are now individuals. They've gone beyond, they've transcended beyond the physical hardware and the gateway, from the application to the actual person. And I think that's been my entire history of my career, is supporting those individuals. How do those individuals, the future platforms of the world, how do you build tools to enable them to create better, a better relationship with their audiences?
And when did you see that Web 2 or Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, the way we see it now, when did you start seeing like, hey, this can't be the future? There has to be a shift here. Was the pandemic an eye-opening shift for you when people started getting censored and audiences started going away, people's streams of income started going away? When did you start realizing, hey, this is a problem and it's probably not going to be the way we work in the future?
I think a lot of it was around the technical inefficiencies of the networks. So how do they actually work? How are messages sent across the web? How are creators effectively monetizing or not monetizing correctly within those systems? These were all the things that I saw very early on. And I said to myself, there has to be a better way to move money, to move messages, to create identities online. There has to be a new system. And that's, yes, the pandemic was part of it, but there was a lot of stuff going on personally for me at the time that I just needed to work on a very hard project to get my mind off things. And I ended up kind of getting into Zion and building Zion. And just out of kind of, you know, I think innovation is derived by frustration. And I was just frustrated how the old system worked.
Very interesting. Now, you started another company before Zion that you built and sold, basically introducing influencers to different advertisers or different people who are selling different products. Where did you come up with that idea? And then I know you talked multiple times about having a number in your mind that you wanted to sell it for. And talk to me about that grind and what that was like.
Yeah. I mean, the idea was I had worked for a banner ad company for a while, and I had a friend that was an influencer, and Instagram gets bought by Facebook for $1 billion. And I talked to him, I said, hey, is there a way that you can interact more effectively with a brand? And there wasn't an app in the App Store at the time. So I basically built the first app on the App Store that connected influencers to brands. And we were just very early. So the idea just came about. Again, innovation is derived by frustration. I was frustrated with how the current system was working. There wasn't really a good way to connect influencers and brands. So I built an app and just built a better framework to do that. In terms of the exit, I just had a number in mind and I got that number in the end. And that's all. Like, it was a pretty simple process. I knew that I needed to generate a certain amount of free cash flow over the next 3 to 5 years. I built that cash flow model. I brought the revenue. I brought the profit. I balanced the balance sheet correctly and had a really studied my P&L. And that's what I did. That was what I did for a few years.
Now, how long after did you sell the company did you find out about your brain injury?
It was, so I sold the company in April of 2016 and I had my seizure November 21st, 2019. So a little bit over 3 years.
Wow. Today's the actual day. Today's the 21st.
Today's the day.
Wow. Wild.
3 years ago.
So as you're building a company, scaling a company, you said frustrations kind of could be the driver of innovation. Those low level vibrations, frustration, guilt, anger, that type of stuff. Do you feel like those emotions took over you a lot, potentially could contribute to illness later on? Do you feel like there was any sort of correlation with that or no?
Could be.
Because as a business owner, as a business owner myself, like, I have all these dreams and goals. And basically the idea for my business is to teach people how to physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, connect to their higher level of potential through fitness, through conversation, through talk therapy and different therapy modalities. And I run into hurdles all the time
I sometimes don't even necessarily believe like I can be the guy to do such a thing, you know, and that can be wearing down on you. So, I mean, I don't know. Talk to me about some of those stressful times and some of the things that you did to like get out of those ways. I mean, you were in the hospital, you had the seizure, like you might have not thought you were going to do something again so extravagant. And here you are building a potential next rendition of the internet. And I think this is massive.
I don't know, man. I just kept going. I don't have this like brilliant thing to say about, oh, I was doing this and I was meditating and I was thinking about this. I don't know if this is the effective way to do it. I just keep going. I want to quit every day. I'm so tired. Like today, I'm so tired. I'm like so frustrated. I'm like, I just keep going. And I think that that's it. That the only thing that's in my cards is I'm relentless at it. And I think that people just quit way too early. That's the reality is okay. I think people quit too early and they don't just keep going. And I think the reality I brought to myself in that conversation that, you know, I was, you know, sitting in the hospital, I'm like, well, like this is my final end state, right? Like this is the end of it. If I die, this is going to be the end of me leaving. And so I rather do everything that I can before I go.
Yeah, love it. Okay, very good. So we use the analogy multiple times, building mansions and other people's property, the demise of Web 2 into Web 3. How can we build on our own land? Explain to me what blockchain tech is and what is the Lightning Network?
So I can't really explain blockchain technology because we don't really work on blockchain technology, but the Lightning Network is layer 2 Bitcoin. What it allows for is instant settlement and instant peer-to-peer transfer across the network that is Bitcoin. So you can send basically Bitcoin at the speed of light to another individual, and the transaction is instantly settled without a confirmation needed because it's done through a smart contract. And that's what the Lightning Network effectively is. It's like a payment network on top of Bitcoin that moves money instantly, which is a little bit faster than having like a blockchain per se.
Okay.
And what that unlocks is that it unlocks this like instant value transfer available with like very deep interoperability. And I think that's the beauty of the technology is this, it's an interoperable payment network. And so Zion is interoperable with Cash App, Strike, Moon Wallet, Wallet of Satoshi's, you know, all these different wallets, Breeze that are available. It's instantly interoperable across that network.
Okay. Very interesting. Is there a time where we're going to be living simultaneously with the new world and the old world? And is there going to be a level of education to move people from one world to the new world?
I think so. I hope so. I think that the education is definitely needed. But I don't know who's going to do that. It's a really good question, but I'm really not sure who's going to do that. But it should happen. I think a lot of it is around this concept of like key storage, key management. I think that's a big part of it. People understanding that they can control their own private keys. They can control their own identity online. They can control how payments move. I think that's going to be a lot of the education process around the category.
Okay, interesting. Because I think about building, you know, I have my own podcast. I've been doing this for 5 years, but now I want a network of people with the same style of message. And when I hear you speak about this new world and how people are interacting on it and getting paid through it and sending information through it, and it's all owned by the creators. And I just think that I want to build my network on something like this new platform. And I just feel like, as I think about that, there's going to have to be this time where Web 2 and Web 3 are coexisting, where podcasters and people like you and I, or you and everybody else that you chat with, are explaining to people what this new way of the working is. Because I don't know that people think about, oh, I like what I heard, I'm going to pay them with Satoshis, or I'm going to pay them with Bitcoin, or I like this, I'm going to pay for it. Because right now people are spoiled. They're getting their stuff for free. However, it's not for free. It's at the expense of their manipulation. And until people start to see that, there's going to be no transfer. What are your thoughts about that?
It's a complicated question. I don't necessarily have a clear answer to it. I think that people have used like marketing terms of like Web 2, Web 3. Like I think we just have to realize that innovation needs, this technology is helping humanity move forward because it's taking middlemen out. That's the thing. It's progressing forward.
And there's a bid for power happening right now, right? Like Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, they're right now a little bit of the people who are talking about what truth is, the arbiters of truth, if you will. And that means people have to be more and more self-aware to fiddle out what the bullshit is and what is actually real. And I think that can get slippery. There's a lot of folks out there that will believe anything. They're gullible. And when it comes down to what the real truth is on certain things, I feel like that middleman that you're talking about is what we need out so that we could define and interact with what we feel is appropriate, don't you think? As opposed to being manipulated totally by some of these platforms.
Yeah. Most people are developing content for algorithms, not for other people.
Right.
What drives the usage of the algorithm? What will increase usage on the algorithm? And I think that there's a potential that we should return to making content for other human beings, not a computer.
I agree. I feel like if we're doing that for the algorithms, then the fundamental piece to create content is not for people anymore. It's for that algorithm. And what's best intention for the people is not going to be communicated effectively. And I feel like that could potentially be the demise of humanity. Now, this is why I like Zion so much and how people get to interact with the minimal amount that I understand it. I just feel like the more guys like me start talking about this with other people who have no idea what the hell Lightning is or blockchain, I just feel like more conversation needs to happen around this. And you keep doing what you're doing. I know we're pressed for time. I just think what you got going on is super exciting. So that being said, who in this process right now has been influencing you the most? Or is there a select group of people? Is there somebody out there that's really pushing you to keep going? Do you feel connected to a higher power? What do you feel about like this work you're doing? I know you, it's a lot. You can get frustrated. So I know you got to keep going, but why?
Why? It's a good question. I'm often questioning my why.
I think it's important, because I feel like
questioning my, why am I doing this in the first place? Why is there so much stress related to it?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, you're onto something.
Yeah. I think if it was easy, everybody would do it.
100%.
If this was so easy, everyone would just go and launch a new type of payment network on top of a decentralized identity network.
Yeah.
So if it was easy, everyone would do it. I think for me, I feel like I really have to. I feel like it's something that's innate in me and that I just need to push forward. And that's kind of where I'm coming from. I feel like I need to. I feel like the lows are lows, but the highs are really high. It's like, it's almost like a drug in some ways.
And let's talk about those highs. What's happening when it's high? Is that a high stream of money? Is that people getting something very spectacular out of this? What navigates that high for you?
I think what navigates the high for me is that I'm like building something someone else can use and it's bringing value to their life. My goal is, it's always been to support creators in everything that they do in their digital careers. And I really hope this app provides that technology and framework that will support creators in the future.
I love it. What's your social life like? How do you have fun?
I don't, man. I keep to myself a lot. I like music. I produce a little bit of music. I DJ here and there.
All right.
I go to the gym quite a bit. I have non-negotiables going to the gym. Good. I have to go to the gym every day. So fitness is really important to my life, but going out is kind of a minimal for me. I have like a quarterly thing that I do, but I'm to myself a lot.
Interesting. What's your gym routine look like?
I use an app that's kind of like a coaching app that I follow, and I just go to
True
the
Coach
gym
or Trainerize or Ladder workouts.
Ladder.
Okay.
And that's kind of cool because I just get, hey, do this, start with this, do this, and it's just very like prescribed, and it's very easy for me to just boom, 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 go, go, go. And That's easy for me. I appreciate that. And it's really efficient. And I get to move fast. Like, to me, it's like, I don't have a lot of time, so I want to get in and out of the gym. And because I go to the gym, I go back to the office. So
do you feel like the over hours that you work could hinder your potential creativity?
No, because I think my craft requires me to be like really obsessed with the task. Like, I think people balance hinders progress, I think. So I think that when I am off, I'm really off. It's just, I'm not that off lately. So like when I'm off, I'm like really off. I'm not really focused on it that much. So yeah, that's that.
And then you said you're going to be working again until 2 a.m. So what's
What's your sleep like? So I sleep when I sleep, but I wake up when I wake up. So the thing is, I don't have an alarm that wakes me up. Like, like this morning I went at 2 last night and I woke up at like 9:45. So I sleep until I wake up. I still feel a little tired because I'm yawning right now while we're on this podcast. I probably should have slept a little bit longer, but that's, my day starts a little bit later. Usually I'm not an early riser. I'm just a late worker.
That's good. I mean, everyone has their own unique ways on how they get after it. You know, I have this podcast to speak to high performers, high level performers like you. So to kind of break to break some of this nitty gritty down, you know, it's interesting to me because, you know, I have a day, you know, a weekly, monthly grind that I'm going after. And there's a lot of ups and there's a lot of downs. I get really high when I get help a lot of people. And that continuously still goes. And, you know, I ask myself my whys every day. And I just feel like the world needs folks in their life to keep them in this positive mindset, to teach them valuable things about humanity and life and living with a purpose. So I talk a lot about being whole versus that hustle culture. How do you fuse those together? Is this thing fulfilling you? And is that part of what you may classify as being whole and having purpose versus the hustle?
I don't know if like I'm trying to display like I'm part of hustle culture by any means. I'm just trying to do something that's very hard and it requires a little bit more time than any normal thing. If I was launching a website, it would take me a few hours. Like, it requires a lot more thinking time, and the time has to come in one way. It could come on the front end. It could come on the back end. So the question is, do I just put more hours in and get there faster? Or do I put less hours in and take more time? My decision is just to put in more time. So hopefully that I have, for me, it's about more content iteration cycles,
What does that mean?
It means that I have more strikes at learning and failing much faster. I have more rapid iteration cycles if I put in more hours earlier. So someone that puts in 40 hours a week where I put in 60 to 80, I have double the iteration cycles in less amount of time.
Okay.
So even though the cycle iteration time is actually a function of time, so I have more times to mess up and learn from it and more times to mess up and learn from it. And I prefer to truncate that earlier in my career than later. That's why I sold my first company when I was 27, which means that I had a lot of cycle iterations by the time I turned 30, and now I'm 34. So I've learned a lot more. I've just experienced a lot more life, and it allows me to make better decisions as my career increases. Like, one of the big things I always tell people is like, make a lot of mistakes early and learn from them. Like, make as many mistakes as you can early, because like when you're older, the mistakes are a lot harder. They're a lot harder on the system. Yes. That's for sure.
Yeah. Harder to, figure out what that pattern was and reinstall new patterns for sure. All right.
Absolutely.
We got a few minutes, and I want to be respectful of your time. So let's talk about this one question. Well, how do you classify love, and what is love to you?
Love is only love if it lasts forever.
And what does that mean?
It means that like a lot of the things we might have in life might not actually be love, like the love of your parents. That's usually like love that will last forever.
Mm-hmm. Unconditional. I like to use that word.
Unconditional, relentless. So I don't know if that answers the beginning of your question around love, but it's kind of my beginning proxy to think about love.
What are, do you have like hobbies that you love, or do you have certain partners or pets that you love?
Fitness, no. I mean, no to that second answer. But like fitness for me is important because it's kind of challenging my body. Music's important to me. But I don't have anyone special or an animal in my life. I have my parents and I love my parents and my brother. But other than that, it's a pretty tight circle around here.
What kind of music gives you that nostalgic like feeling?
Melodic house right now, like 4/4, like DJ type music, tech house, yes. like stuff that I can play and DJ. I have a DJ booth downstairs in my house. And so, I mean, that stuff really like it inspires me to be more creative.
Okay. I love that. I got 4 more minutes. I want to keep elaborating on the DJ and the music. if you're open to talking about this, have you had experiences at shows with MDMA and how has that affected you?
Yeah, I think, anything that's a psychoactive thing, it enhances all these types of experiences. I mean, I was at Burning Man this year and, I think anything that enhances an overall experience is good. And, I think people should try them in medical settings, of course.
I agree.
But I think there's an interesting thing. I just did a talk, saying Bitcoin is the psychedelic of money. And I did a post on it on Twitter.
Yes. Break that down.
And the idea is that, when you do a psychedelic, it kind of, Michael Pollan talks about this, it resets the default mode network.
Yep. Yep.
And I think that's a really good thing because whatever patterns you were in, it's like, oh, let me disrupt those patterns. Let me kind of change up those patterns. And I think that's what all psychedelics do in a really good way. And Bitcoin is that for money. We think of money in a very certain way. And Bitcoin disrupts our default mode network pattern and how we think about money.
Okay. Very interesting.
I mean, that's a whole deep conversation we could go on, and it's a pretty deep rabbit hole that I've.
Yeah, I agree with you. Psychedelics are something that I'm extremely passionate about, and I've had several experiences myself. I feel like I've gotten several downloads from situations that I've been in psychedelic ceremony that I've carried out and is really kind of pushing my journey. I know we got to go. What were some of the downloads you got for Burning Man?
Oh man.
In a nutshell,
it was a very introspective experience this year. Probably the biggest takeaway was just to focus on the what is in life and not what you wished it to be. Just like be super dedicated on the what is, you know, this is what it is and this is how it is. And that to me is the biggest unpack and biggest reveal is like focus your life on what is, not how you wish it should be.
What is? Very good.
What is it? And most of the time our conflict falls under the how we want it to be, not what is.
And if you had to give advice to your 30-year-old or if you had to give advice to yourself from the future right now, what would that advice be? Yeah. So your future self is sitting up top right now. You've developed this thing that's inner working. That's it. Keep going. Never sit, smell the roses.
I mean, smell the roses while you're going. It just keep going and keep pushing forward. You only have one chance at this and just keep going, progress forward. Rapid iteration cycles, push forward, push forward, push forward, push forward.
Rapid iteration cycles. I'm going to name the podcast title Rapid Iteration Cycles.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing at the gym. I mean, if you go to the gym, the more times you go to the gym and you let it rest and grow and blah, 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 like it's the same thing. You just want rapid iteration cycles.
Yeah. Very interesting. All right, Justin, I know you got a lot going on. I really thank you very much. I'd love to, you know, to talk a little bit longer one of these days and break down some more of what you're doing. And I look forward to connecting with Zion in the future and just kind of like, you know, again, building my network on there. And what's the plan time? When are you going to have more people able to sign up for the node?
Couple months, coming out in a couple months. So slow and steady, but we're getting there.
All right. Well, I'll keep checking in.
Thank you. Appreciate you, brother.
Appreciate
Have a good
it.
One.
Thank you
so Have much for the day. Chat.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Thank you very much. Bye.